Bhagavate-vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate-vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate-vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Text 28. Tam tadapu rusam martyo Mahavajo palakshamam Dejanti vedatam kavyam Param jignasavo
nitam
Tam
him
Tadam in that age Purusham the supreme enjoyer Martyam
mortal men
Maharaja
a great king
Upalakshanam, playing a role of. Yajanti, they worship. Veda Tantravyam, according to both the original Vedas and ritualistic tantras. Param, of the Supreme. Jignasava, those who want to gain knowledge. Nipa,
the
king. Translation of purport by dependence of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My dear king, in Dwapara Yuga, men who desire to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme enjoyer, worship him in the mood of honoring a great king, following the prescriptions of both the Vedas and Tantras. Please repeat. My dear king,
king.
Dwapara Yuga,
men who desire to know
the supreme personality of Godhead,
who is the supreme enjoyer?
Worship him in a mood
of honoring a great king,
following the prescriptions
of both the Vedas and Tantras.
Purport. When Lord Krishna was leaving the city of Hastinapur, Arjuna personally held an umbrella over the Lord, and Uddhava and Satyaki fanned the Lord with decorated fans. In this way, Emperor Yudhisthira and his followers worship Krishna as the greatest of noble kings and as the Supreme Personality of God. Similarly, at the Rajasuya sacrifice, all of the great souls of the universe elected Krishna as the king of all kings, the greatest personality deserving of first worship. This reverential worship of the Lord is characteristic in Dwapara Yuga, as described in this verse, Maha Rajo Palakshanam. In each successive yuga, namely Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali, the condition of human society deteriorates more and more. As mentioned in this verse, the only terrible qualification of the residents of Dwapara Yuga is that they are jignasava, strongly desirous of knowing the absolute truth. Otherwise, there is no good qualification mentioned. The inhabitants of Satya Yuga were described as Shanta, Nivra, Surida, and Sama, or peaceful.
free from envy and well-wishes of every living entity, and fixed in the spiritual platform beyond the modes of material nature. Similarly, the inhabitants of Treta Yuga were described as dharmishta, or brahmavadina, thoroughly religious, and expert followers of the Vedic injunctions. In the present verse, the inhabitants of Apara Yuga are said to be simply jignasava, desiring to know the absolute truth. Otherwise, they are described as martya, or subject to the weakness of mortal beings. If the human society of even Dwapara was clearly inferior to that of Satya and Treta Yugas, we can hardly imagine the truly disastrous condition of human society in Kali Yuga. Therefore, as will be mentioned in the following verses, human beings who have taken their birth in the present age of Kali should attach themselves rigidly to the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to free themselves from foolishness. Translation once again. My dear King, in Dwapara Yuga, men who desire to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Enjoyer, worship Him in the mood of honoring a great King, following the prescriptions of both the Vedas and the Tantras. Om Ajnanati Vedandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Aditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakita Mayandadati Svaparantikam Vansakalpatrubhyascha Pripasantu Vipacha Chitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnadeva Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasvati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Karoti vachalam pangum langai vinjinina kripita maham bandi Shri Gunjin Tarnam Shri Paramada Matavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Every verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam gives a complete picture of transcendence. It's amazing, it's kind of like a contact capsule which provides so much healing effort sort of there. Here we're reading about how the Lord glorifies Himself according to the time and place, according to the ages. In Satya Yuga, He can take a form of Hamsa and come whitish form, four arms, and be worshipped through the process of meditation. Or we see in Treta Yuga, He may take a reddish complexion, and He also has four arms. And there's the various performances of yajna to link oneself with that Supreme is basically by the performance of tapasya, performing austerity. Then, of course, Dwapara Yuga is the time of deity worship. You may note, in the present ages, the lifespan gets less and less. Satya Yuga, 100,000 years. Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, 10,000 years. Dwapara Yuga, 1,000. And Kali Yuga, at best, 100. Of course, now things are lessening. The Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, the key in this age to give up your foolishness is simply to take shelter of Mahaprabhu's movement. And kind of just looking at the different scenarios here, how the Lord manifests, and the jivatmas who are born in those ages have various qualifications in terms of memory, ability, concentration. And you'll notice the age groups are getting less and less and less. In the age of Kali, well, it's very even difficult. The concentration effort, especially in the communication work, has to be in a way to find the ways and means to capture people, capture their intelligence. So the Lord works in an accommodating way throughout His historical secular parampara. And the Lord empowers his devotees also to act in a similar way. I remember when Draupadi had just been won by Arjuna, and Draupadi was in great anxiety. What has happened? Who has taken my daughter? Such a qualified, an ordinary brahmana? Is she going to be out begging with a brahmana on the street, going door to door like this, Madhukari? My princess. So he was in great anxiety. Of course, because he was absorbed in the service of the Supreme, he knew there was only one person qualified to marry his daughter. That's why he made this complete, complex arrangement to attract all the kshatriyas. But only Arjuna could actually pierce the eye of the fish. What is this? A Brahmin has taken my daughter? He's won? What is happening? So he's in great anxiety. Now this verse is speaking, Narada Muni is giving instructions to Vasudeva. And Vasudeva accepted Narada-ji as his guru because he was very despondent. He presented all the Vedas and supplements, but there was something missing. Param Svanabhartate. He wasn't experienced in higher taste because he had delved too much into the lower taste, describing Veda Vada Rasa, the ritualistic performances of Vedas. He was not describing the Supreme Lord in his personal feature. So he's listening to Arjuna, to Narada, giving him instruction. You see, the spiritual master has a vibration in which the disciple imbibes in, as a messenger in parampara. So in this way, Vasudeva was despondent. And Narada Muni is giving very wonderful instructions of how to become freed from this despondency. So from Narada-ji, who was very accommodating agent in parampara, if we see an example of how Mrugari the hunter was simply half-killing animals, and in this way, Narada Muni said, well, he couldn't preach to him, you're going to go to hell for killing these animals. At least don't half kill them. Kill them all the way, in time and place. And in this way, the hunter was purified by the association. He began to follow the instructions of Narada-ji, and then he was able to become a topmost Vaishnava. So in this way, Vasudeva is learning from Narada Muni about the greatness of the Lord, how we shift gears according to time and place, and how the agents also shift gears in representing him. So in this way, Draupadi, he was linked in a sincere way in service of the Lord. So Vasudeva, taking that vibration of Narada Muni, of accommodation, he comes and he points out, he brings him to the room, he brings him to the balcony, and the Pandavas were coming. He goes, Pandraputra Putranam. Oh, these are the greatest. The Pandavas are the greatest personalities. So he pointed out over the balcony, and there was Yudhisthira walking. And he was not even touching the ground. And the garlands that were placed in Yudhisthira were unfading. Because ultimately, the devotee developed similar qualities as the Supreme Lord in service. And there was Arjuna, who won their maiden Draupadi, and he was looked very stout and very strong. And Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev, all wearing white. They're all dressed, they're all like very beautifully. They look so transcendental. And he said to Draupadi, he gave him understanding, these aren't ordinary Brahmins, these are the five Pandavas who have won your daughter. And when they came into the palace, Yudhisthira went up and sat on the throne. And then Draupadi, he wanted to test them, because you see the nature of kshatriyas are always testing. You've got to check you out. So he bought a big club. And it was like, took about, you know, somebody meant to carry it. And then he picked up the club with one hand. Hey, this is not bad. Could be done better. And as he was, you know, each was able to look at the different weapons, and Indra is sitting on the throne, Yudhisthira. Then Vasudeva is saying, you see, these are the Pandavas. Actually, they were not killed in the house of Lack. They've come, and you are to work together in the great battle to come. So in this way, due to the surrender, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. There's an empowerment. Krishna Shakti, Vinay, Tarva, Vartanava. One, in order to understand Krishna or push on his glories, must be empowered by the Lord. There must be that aspect of the Dhammi, Bhuhi Yogam Tam. There must be intelligence coming from the Supreme. So in this way, we can't approach the parampara in a foolish manner as Prabhupada is describing here. We can't be foolish. What was it? It was Ravana. He wanted initiation of the Om mantra. So he saw Narada. You see, Vasudeva's approach is different than Narada Muni. I mean, than Ravana's approach. Initiate me into the mantra of Om. And Narada Muni goes, my dear sir, you're not qualified to be initiated. Sorry. You have to wait more than 1 year for you. No. And Ravana was very impatient. He became very angry. He became so angry, he even threw a weapon, like a sword, right at Narada. Like this. Went right through Narada's body. And he took a lance and took all his weapons and went through it at Narada. Went right through his body. And he could, what is this? What kind of body do you have? Where are you getting your power? So in this way, Narada Muni just replied, actually, this is a spiritual body. But through submission to the Supreme Lord, one can develop this type of form. But you're not ready. You're not ready to approach the Supreme in this manner. But he gave him a blessing. The saints always give specific blessings. I curse you. You will be finished when a monkey spits on your face. And an unlimited monkey soul will come to Lanka and devastate everything. So he was thinking, oh. So anyways, he made this transcendental prediction. Narada is always expert at making the curses. But for the welfare, Sadhu curses in such a way to benefit. And Srila Prabhupada once went to say that, actually, as Narada was cursed to travel, I have been cursed to travel. And similarly, I'm cursing all of you. Go and travel. Go. I'm passing on the curse. Actually, it's quite amazing. To show special mercy, I take things away. So especially in the age of Kali Yuga, to become free from this foolishness, sometimes the Lord will pull the rug, take things away. But ultimately, through the agents in Parampara, there is a meaning to awaken us from these mundane attachments. Was it in Melbourne that Prabhupada was on a walk with the devotees? And they were stopped underneath a tree. And there were stool droppings on the ground underneath the tree. And then Prabhupada says, oh, what does this mean? The devotees later made a few scientists. Well, this is the excretions of a... I don't know a Latin word for parrot or whatever. The excretions of such and such birds like this, Prabhupada. Someone tried to think of some throughout history, the devotees answer in a really complicated way. And Prabhupada, like an expert martial artist, answers in such a simplistic, Krishna conscious manner, just goes right to the heart of the matter. And Prabhupada says, no, it's the bard. Bird, referring to bird, bard, pronounced like that. Even the bard has an attachment to the branch. There was a bard here for 2 weeks. So similarly, problem I'm going to say, as in the human form, people are attached to their apartments. Similarly, the bird is attached to its branch. So this attachment can be so overwhelming, can be so embarrassing. And we become embarrassed. Or as the prophet says, we develop a certain sense of foolishness. Who was it? Indra was attached. He was cursed with Lord Brahma, and then he had to take birth as a pig. And he had many piglets. Many piglets, piglet wife like this. you go to various parts, especially in India and in Vrindavan, you can see the piglets and the piglet families, and you know, they relish various refreshments. But the amazing, if you ever visit, you know, Keshiga, and you see, you know, the pigs that are there, and sometimes they find a newly deposited refreshment, and there's like such excitement and wiggling of the tail, you know, like this, such excitement. So similarly, Indra was very much attached to this particular. Well, this is not so bad. You know, I have my furry friends, and I've got my various refreshments, which is warm. Sometimes, oh, it's such a wonderful place. I'm happy. He was so attached. Maya sukhaya vidho vimudha. We become bewildered. We become attached to maya sukhaya, happiness and distress. In the animal form, subhuman form, you basically are locked into primeval survival instincts. But even as Prabhupada was explaining, the survival ethics of an animal, they also like the little branch, you know, and it's a very, very, very nice branch, and I'll spend so much time here. So yes, when Brahma came and did some fine-tuning within the family, and then Indra realized, oh my goodness, what's happening to me? Time for you to come back to your service. So the Lord, He's coming in different incarnations, and He's employing many different types of jivatmas who desire to enjoy separately from Him to reclaim them. Whether you live, you're given a lifespan of 100,000 or 10,000 or 1,000 years, well, the Lord has a perfect package for you. It's interesting, in the world of advertising, there's such a science to sell a certain product, to bewilder people in things they just don't need. As you know, the material field is a perverted reflection of the spiritual. But the Lord is the best designer at providing the product, providing the field of activity towards something that we really do need. In other words, in the material field, we've come here because we've been forgetful. The Lord provides the full product of remembrance in terms of taking shelter of the holy name, taking shelter of the process to awaken that relationship. So yes, Sankirtan movement means the Sankirtan. San means coming together, and Kirtan means to glorify. So I like when I have the opportunity to travel and come to such nice temples here, especially if there's a special few weeks here of wonderful teaching going on, from the Harinam Sankirtan to wonderful displays on stage to attract people, because they will not, due to the age of Kali, it's harder for people to sit down and read. But you see something very, very majestic which captures the intelligence. I think it was like sometimes when the devotees would do a play, and you see a tear in Prabhupada's eye. Because it would completely provide an experience of transcendence. I remember when I was traveling in the early days in America, and I went to the Hopi Indian Reservation. And the Hopi Indians, are of all the Indians, are the most sattvic in terms of partial goodness there. You know, they were vegetarian. And they have these what's called kachina dancers. And they call Krishna Wonkan Panka. And the dancers, they would dance in rhythmic fashion. You know, they'd have various bells and and it's amazing, because we see during kirtan, different devotees, different abilities in kirtan, it becomes like a very spontaneous affair. And the devotees may have a certain technique or certain ability, but that's just the beginning. It's like when you're on the drama stage, you learn your lines and move this way, move that way. Now you can go beyond just learning the lines, but you can actually imbibe the personality which you're representing. So it becomes an ad lib. And I'm sure every performance is always a little variety here and there, but you imbibe a particular mood which affects the heart. You see, Krishna conscious activity But what Narada Muni is giving direction here is to understand how to connect to the heart. Not present terms of just gyan, but vigyan, realized knowledge, means a matter of the heart. So when we understand how to give up our particular attachments, I'm okay, you wake up in the morning, you take your barometer, I'm feeling blissful today, you feeling blissful today, at 3:30, 3:45 in the morning, are you feeling blissful this morning? Yes?
Yeah.
Take your temperature. This is we want to act in the capacity to be enjoyed by Krishna. In other words, we don't want to try and say, what's in it for me? No, what's in it for we? Not I'll, ahamamechi, everything belongs to me. But think in terms of we. And the beginning stages in our foolishness, as described here, we develop various attachments towards activities which really don't benefit our long-term investment in spiritual life. So Indra, his attachment was cut. This is what sadhu does. The sadhu is hidden, and they also cut with transcendental knowledge. So in this way, we find that we have to simply give up our mundane, foolish attachments. One time, Parvati was with Lord Shiva, and they descended, and Parvati was in the mood of distribution. Let's give some gifts to the people. Then she saw these beggars on the road. She said to Lord Shiva, my dear Shambhu, please, give these beggars a gift. And he said, no, I will not give him a gift because he does not have appreciation for what is a real gift. So she said, oh, come on, please, Prabhu, please, give him some gift. And then so he gave him a watermelon. Nice watermelon, big size watermelon. And then the beggar saw the watermelon. Ah, a watermelon. I mean, you're Lord Shiva, he can give you so many things. Here. And he gave it for a few conch shells. In those days, they called conch shells. So the size beggar. And then the beggar, oh, okay, and he cut it up. Oh, jewels, wealth, minerals, pearls. Have you ever had prasadam here where? Of course, it's prasad, so we can't compare it to, the mundane jewelry like that. And Lord Shiva said to Parvati, you see, this beggar had a complete melon filled with jewels, and just gave it away. So this is my confirmation. We don't know, people, we don't have understanding what is real wealth. It's a nice thing I always remember because in the preaching field, oftentimes, the conditioned souls who are absorbed in foolishness because they're atmaha, the killer of the self, they don't appreciate the Vaishnava or the Vaishnavis in terms of maybe their looks or sound vibration. Of course, we have wonderful PR, especially, in our restaurant. It's nice, so many people. One thing about this country, they love to eat. So purification. They love prasad. And that's amazing. Actually, I know that I spend at least 10 months a year in India. I'm just as comfortable walking in Melbourne or like in Sydney in my Vaishnava cloth as being downtown Calcutta. It's kind of a mood of acceptance in one respect. So Lord Shiva, he was saying to Parvati, you see, they don't understand what is real wealth, what is real value. But through the Harinam Sankirtan, the Yuga Dharma, people are appreciating. They may even mimic chanting Hare Krishna. And for those of the Harinam, you've seen so many Harinams, and a lot of times you've seen persons have appreciation, and maybe you have a sarcastic element. Maybe it's not so appreciation, but they may mimic the chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a Yuga Dharma. What was it? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, whenever he saw, and Srila Prabhupada also, whenever he saw some article, he'd always note how many times Hare Krishna is listed. Because, sometimes over the years, due to misunderstandings, There may be some, what may be apparent, bad public relations there. The Prabhupada would see, even in the bad publicity, good publicity. Hare Krishna, how many, what is the Herald, you know, how many papers that go out? Hare Krishna. And then it gives us a great vision to always place ourselves in the mood of appreciation. By getting back to this earlier word I used, accommodation. If the Lord, through His different ages, in terms of Sakya Yuga, and Treta Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga, He can shift gears according to time and place, and He presents the Acharyas who are shifting gears according to time and place, and we see how Lord Chaitanya was most exemplary as the Supreme Lord Himself. He would take a bit from each of the each sampradaya and amalgamate it in the Brahma Gaudiya sampradaya to capture the hearts, to be as a transcendental gardener. We can relish how those dependents who are absorbed in the mood of Lord Chaitanya in terms of that bliss provided by Lord Nityananda and the intelligence provided by Lord Chaitanya, how we see in those empowered individuals like Srila Prabhupada, who according to time and place, presented Krishna consciousness, maybe adjusting the bottle, but the essence has always been the same. The Harinam Sankirtan, the distribution of transcendental literatures, and the establishment of farm communities and temples as bases in which people can digest this alternative lifestyle, the spiritual culture, and become freed from their foolishness. It's quite an amazing scenario. It's almost like communication work in Krishna in the present age is like dealing with schizophrenic personalities. They're split-minded. In one sense, there's Antaryami, the Lord in the heart, who is relishing as the injection, whether it's through prasadam, whether it's through the book, whether it's through that sound vibration. But externally, due to foolish identification, we don't appreciate it. But inwardly, is an attraction. It's like a, you know, they take these little small tugboats and push them. In the harbor, I saw a big giant ship the other day, you know, multi-level ship. And, you know, it's like, what, 10 stories high. But these little tugboats to maneuver them in a position that we find by the deposits of Krishna consciousness that we see, whether it's through the nam, whether it's through the prasadam, the deity worship, all these different aspects. It undermines people's material culture. And Russia, Soviet Union, is an example of that. How the book distribution, the Harinam Sankirtan, even as you well know, the three great enemies of, you know, great enemies of the KGB. Rock and roll, jeans. I'm not trying to, I'm comparing it on an equal level, but interesting. And the Hare Krishnas. Good food they have. I remember Dave Maritaswami, he could get a very deep intelligence of how to present Krishna consciousness according to time and place. There was so much opposition to bringing books into the Soviet Union that he designed a program of how to get bookloads, like, you know, like big multi you know, semi-truck trailers of books through the border. How do you do, fly over the border? But he wrote these pamphlets,
Yoga. This will help give power to the people. You know, this will give, you know, freedom to all. Equality to all.
Of course, you know, communism doesn't mean equality at all. You know, you got 1% got the bucks and the rest suffer. But I can't say that in the foreign fields like West Bengal because you never know who's in the audience. But in this way, it's a matter of time and place. So you each look. Each of you in this room are empowered in a particular way. You have certain types of sensitivities, certain types of abilities. You may be a cook, you may be a distributor, you may be a talker, you may be a dancer. You may be just a real quiet person and just wanting to relish, you know, the living inside a temple, worshiping the deities. You may be an artist. You have each Krishna is giving you the Dhamma Bodhi Yoga Thomas, these amazing abilities. I always relish to see how different devotees with different abilities come together in a particular setting. As the example goes, the utensils in the kitchen come together. Variety comes together. There may be some noise. It comes together for a higher purpose. And you can see how each devotee is empowered in such a wonderful way. And we look at each other And we acknowledge that good quality we see in the other devotees. And then, by the way, you begin to develop those qualities. This is the process. So the design is perfect. Your individual strengths, your individual weaknesses is a perfect design. Individually, for you to overcome by taking shelter of the process, of the vibration of Guru, and collectively as a communication facility in Melbourne, in service to Radhavallabha, you've come together for a reason. The design is perfect. So it's interesting that we can make so much advancement if we capture that mood. But we have to understand the essential religious principles that the Yamadutas, when they saw Ajamil, was actually protected by the Vishadutas, they were very, very perturbed. Ajamil has done so many terrible things. And what is this? What is this that he calls out the name of Narayan, his son, and he's saved from all this? He gets a second chance. You ever thought about that? We'll be given a second chance. That we may have had a few bad habits. But you see, the Yamadutas, they're befuddled. What's going on? Where's those most powerful police officers and the police around here? Who are these guys? So they go to Yamaraj, and they say, "We thought you were number one in the universe. We've been superseded by these two guys with four arms. What's going on?" And he quoted a verse, "Dharma tu sakshapavaparitam." It actually, real dispensals have enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am a servitor of the Supreme Lord. Actually, Yamaraj is a servitor. He under Lord Shiva, who is serving the Lord. And he's given that task of punishment and correction task. But then the Yamaraj made it very clear, you have to understand what is essential, real religious principles. If you want diamonds, you go to a place called Tiffany's, that's in New York City. You want big diamonds, you go to a high-class store. If you want something cheap, you know, you may go to your Kmart. Of course, we used to call Kmart Krishna Mart in the old days because for some reason the devotees would frequent the parking lots. I mean, frequent the visitors. I mean, like that. So in this way, if you want to go get something cheap, you go to a cheap place. But if you want something high class, some nice quality materials, you go to a high-class store like Tiffany's. What's amazing, as we study how the Lord comes in different forms according to time and place, and there's different processes for these different ages, and the Harinam Sankirtan movement, Chaitanya's movement, is the way we can become free from our foolishness. Don't take things for granted. And encourage one another. And this wonderful principle, I've always found the best instructions I've given to you, whatever strength you have, you develop that strength. Very simple. You each have strengths, and you each have weaknesses. So if you act in such a way, develop your strengths, then in time, your weaknesses will go. And in this way, your strengths you can share with others. Yad, yad, atarthi, shreshta. And then you, as a team, many sticks together, as Prabhupada said, you cannot break. So then it becomes very enlivening. Instead of like the materialists are looking at the movie stars or looking at the, you know, politicians or the billionaires in a mood of envy, why not me? You see a car accident, people slow down. Oh, look what happened. Whoa. Misery loves company. Isn't that a perverted thing? That happiness is based on other person's suffering. But a Vaishnava is completely opposite. Our happiness is based in seeing others happy. Para dukkha dukkhi. We don't like to we become distressed. A Vaishnava becomes distressed to see others in difficulty. So take your strength, and as you follow the process of Krishna consciousness, develop that strength, and you'll find you'll be able to encourage others in a wonderful way. And I remember, you know, we didn't have any abilities, but I always like to stay by the mountains and the sea. And I found in the process of Krishna consciousness, I'm always in other areas, you know, like the big cities in that sense, though I have certain attachments. So as you use your strengths to overcome your weaknesses, you find yourselves all of a sudden breaking out of the schizophrenic situation my needs are based in the body, but actually you begin to think in terms of that focus of eternal service to that one Supreme Lord, to be enjoyed by that Supreme Lord. Then all of a sudden we come in contact with this reality of a Chitta Veda Tattva, a simultaneously oneness and difference, that we have a oneness with the Supreme in terms of will, that individuality creates rasa, creates relationships and loving exchanges. So we can always relish in our service, how that we can become serve the Supreme, but at the same time we have that offering to enhance the relation. And by studying this verse, we can get an appreciation of how the Lord works in wonderful ways to increase our appreciation. So let us work in a way to give up our foolishness, well, maybe not for you, but actually, to give class is the greatest. I remember Radha Swami once saying to me, to give Bhagavatam class is the highest mercy. Because actually Prabhupada just said it is 11 times more power, purifying to recite Bhagavatam than to hear. Of course, you have to hear first before you can speak. But it's very interesting, the power of trying to become in some small way to serve the Supreme, to include others, to strengthen others, is very special. And we see this exemplified in the Sankirtan movement, especially in our book distribution, or facilitating the book distribution, that it's like the ultimate multi-market leveling program to communicate with others and to help them understand, my dear sir, you have to give up these foolish conceptions and actually re-enter your eternal service. So in this way, let us take our strengths, share them together, and watch the weaknesses go away. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments like that? All right. Yes. You see how through mantra, man means mind, tra means to free, and the tantra is established in such a way to free the consciousness from mechanistic situations or temporary situations. So according to the time and place, just like in the Sakya Yuga, in terms of meditational techniques, or Treta Yuga, in terms of performing basically austerities, and Dwarpa Yuga, through the process of deity worship, that there are different mantras which are used. Tantras, also in the sense of establishing a connection, like Swaha, it refers to the principle of humility. That actually one is very small, and one is actually, to perform yajna, must link with the Supreme. So the tantras are there in a mood of cooking. Mantras are there for cooking. But the beauty about the Maha mantra, it goes beyond the cooking. It goes on the point of linking. In other words, it's actually in a principle of reestablishing our lost relationship. So the different sound vibrations have effect. There's the Shabda Brahman, which is spiritual sound. And that has a way of affecting the schizophrenic situation into becoming eternal servant. Gopi Katapada Kamala or Dasa Dasa or Dasa once again. Through that sound vibration, we understand ourselves as a servant. And as Vasudeva is learning the principle of service, through the mantras, through the sound vibration coming from Narada Muni. So the tantras and the yantras and mantras have a different place in relationship towards a particular yajna. The end result, as the Sankirtan movement, is the Maha Mantra, which speaks about the developing a heart connection with the Supreme Lord, or in other words, a heart transformation. Because mantras and tantras can harden the heart. You can perform so much tapasya, but it isn't based in terms of loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. Then they don't have much value. But they lead to performance of austerity and discipline to ultimately be grounded in the process of bhakti. All right, anything else? Okay, Grantha Srimad Bhavatam Ki Jai, Jagu Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, and go to Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.